Hello and welcome to Super Garbage Day. This is your host, Ryan Miller, or Mr. Miller. I don't know why I said my first name. It's okay. We're doing something a little different this time. Unfortunately, our usual host, Mr. B. Ross, is down with the sickness. And I am filling in with a little bit of a solo project. Welcome to Super Garbage Day. I will try and keep it to the usual tempo that you're used to. There will be show notes. B-Ross has all of that stuff. When I send it to him to edit, he's going to throw that stuff in there for you. Also, I am a bit more of a potty mouth than him, so I apologize if you have children in the room. I might be a little offensive, but I'm going to try and keep it as PC as possible. Anyways, getting on with the show. This is a retro podcast where we try to search through the trash and find the treasures. I'm not as good at this intro, I just realized. Anyways, today's episode is about River Raid. But before we get to that, I'm going to ask myself a retro question of the week. All right, retro question of the week is, if you were to walk into an arcade and only had a few quarters, what machine would I immediately gravitate to? I was asked this question earlier in the week. I'd given some time to think about it. But this is one of those ones that I did not need any time. Immediately, if I walk into a retro arcade and they have a 1945 Strikers cabinet, that is where my money is going. Typically, it takes me about $5 to finish it. But it is an excellent time. If you're not familiar with the game, it is a bullet hell style shooter where you play as fictional fantasy style World War II fighter planes. Some of them are experimentals, but you have a run from anything from the Spitfire to the Zero. To even the Japanese Shinjin, interesting V-wing styled fighter jet, but good time all around. I believe it ends with a mission on the moon on fighting a Nazi base, which it gets wackadoo. It completely jumps the shark, but it's a super fun time. And a little bit controversial because they, as a special ending, the better you do, the more revealing your character art is at the end. And this got some parents a little angry in the days because it got quite lewd at the highest victory stages. It reveals that most of the pilots are female, and they slowly start taking clothes off. It's only for like the top 1% of players that maybe have seen these images. It was a controversial thing at the time. You know, these game developers be thirsty lads. But with that being said, let's jump into the game of the week, which is River Raid. Yeah! An Atari 2600 video game that was developed in 1982. Interesting fact, the developer is Carol Shaw, the first female developer of any video game. She deserves some accolades, as well as for making this game as successful as it was. River Raid 2, which Activision decided to pursue without her assistance, did not do as well. River Raid is a side-scrolling it's a vertical scrolling shooter. You play as a fighter jet that starts at the bottom of the screen. You can accelerate and decelerate, but you don't have any control over the your position forwards or backwards. In the game, you can only move left to right. Your objective is to shoot the enemy fighter jets, helicopters, and boats. I guess they're destroyers or patrol craft. Who knows? It's the Atari. So this is going to be real short, but trust me on this one. I have some extra content for you. We start the game immediately. There's very little to be said about the graphics. It's the 2600, my guys. Like, this system is hot trash. I decided this last week on a whim because we haven't done one, and I immediately regretted my decision because I forgot how much the Atari sucked. But yeah, it's ugly. It is everything that was bad about this era of gaming. The sprites are barely representative of what they're supposed to be. It's like, yep, that's what a five-year-old would draw a helicopter as. That being said, you know, at least they're for the most part distinguishable. The helicopters are pretty bad because they're blue on blue, and they can get lost in the weeds as far as visibility for taking them down. The general concept is to just keep driving down this river. You cannot touch the sides for some odd reason. That is instant death. Also, contact with any sprite other than a fuel canister is instant death, which you can also destroy the fuel canisters, I found out, frustratingly enough. I'm kind of going to blow through this all as just one big rant. So just hold on with me. This will all come together later. Gameplay, I've already been talking about that, is very basic. You have three lives to start. They very much want you to know that this is made by Activision, because that giant Activision logo does not go away if you're looking at the game screen. You have a fuel gauge and a point calculator. That is the only thing that matters in this game is clout. There is no finishing. It just technically could go on forever. The levels do change. You will, you know, get different styles of river. But like, if you're looking for anything more than that, that's about it. Firing is done with one button, and and forward and back on your joypad or controller. If you're actually playing it on the Atari, I believe it still had that that weird dial. So I don't know exactly how this controlled originally. I obviously was playing it in a more modern sense with an Xbox controller. But, you know, the controls are all right. I will give them that for this game. It was pretty good as far as Atari games go. The enemies, though, are very much just on a magnet track towards the player. So it does feel a little cheap at times, how they will attack you. There's not a lot of just pre-programmed movement. They won't even react unless you are within a certain distance to the sprite. But we have to remember, this is the grandpappy of video games systems. And it's clunky. It's not great. That being said, the sounds, it's Atari 2600. We got sound. We're lucky in that respect, because I remember some Atari games not having any sort of sound at all. You just got to pump that rush and whatever else you were listening to in your basement at the time. But there are some sound effects. They are Atari quality. I have nothing to say about audio in this department. But, you know, I'll just wrap this whole monster up, because this is not the game, my people. It was highly regarded for what it is. And I also have to give shout outs to Carol Shaw, being the first woman game developer in what is largely regarded as a chauvinistic industry, being able to forge ahead and develop this game, which is highly regarded. It did sell. How many copies did this sell? It sold quite a bit. I know there was a reward given out for it. Just give me a moment. I'm looking. Let's just go to Carol Shaw's page, because I believe she... Yep, there it is. Oh, so this game sold 1 million units, which is not anything to laugh at. excuse me. That's a big achievement. And like I said, the sequel didn't do well without Carol Shaw's input. So big shout out to Carol Shaw. Congratulations on your achievement and making River Raid, you know, as beloved as it was. That being said, I'm going to steal a quote from Flux Magazine when they did their top 100 video games in 1996. This actually made it to their 81 spot, but they have a wonderful quote, which I will put right here. Nostalgia aside, the 2600 sucks, but this game is still great. And I 100% back that. The 2600 does suck. I will not be choosing this system ever again for our random game of the week. If the Wheel of Retro deems it, then I just have to curse the gods. But I curse myself for choosing this game. This was not an enjoyable time. And that brings me just to my verdict. While it is beloved and it was probably great for its time, I don't recommend this game. I'm not going to put it in the hot garbage category because I don't think it deserves that. It wasn't objectively bad for the time. It did what it's supposed to do, but it could be run on a potato and And it's not a lot here. Even for a retro gamer, you're going to get bored real fast. If you had absolutely nothing to do and it was disgustingly hot outside and you were bullied as a kid, I could see burning a lot of time in 1982 on this game. I would rather be playing D&D. Honestly, I'm a nerd with friends, so that's what I would be doing. This is a collector's item at best. So I'll leave it at that. But what I want to now transition to is more of a sample of what we do for Backlog Eternal or Retro Deep Cuts, our Patreon exclusive episodes. I want to talk about a couple of shows that are in my, or not shows, games that are in my favorite genre. I'm a huge Metroidvania fan, and I want to give you three modern Metroidvanias that I believe all of our listeners would get a kick out of, because they have that retro feel, but modern polish. So we're going to get into that right now. Cue some music. All right. So, welcome to part two of this solo episode of me gushing about three games that I absolutely adore. If you're not familiar with the Metroidvania style, that term is coined because it is a mushing together of Castlevania and Metroid. Two fantastic titles. Some of them have stronger outings than others. But collectively, the idea is it is a side scroller that involves a lot of backtracking, and as you gain abilities to unlock previous areas that were hinted at and frustratingly teased, as you gain power and abilities to conquer those obstacles. They typically feature amazing boss fights, fantastic artwork, great soundtracks, and overall, they have generally a great and cohesive story that you feel like you are living out. It's not just dictated to you. You feel like you are figuring it out as it progresses. First game in this category that I want to talk about is Sundered, which is by Ubisoft. It is a beautiful, although in this category, I would say this is the most stylistic approach. In this is the most stylistic of the games in the category, I would believe. If you ever saw the movie Fern Gully, that's kind of what the art style looks like. It's a lot of very bright sprites contrasted with a lot of almost tar-like looking entities for the villains. The main character you play as is a sort of like a warlock character who has been gifted powers by a being that you can either embrace the light or corrupt the abilities. The corrupted abilities are the more fun and powerful option, in my opinion. I have not made it through a full playthrough, as my access to the game was lost. I did not have the money to purchase it again. And so it was on Game Pass for a while. I don't know if it's still there. But it plays a lot like, I would say more like Castlevania. If you have played Symphony of the Night, that is probably the game I would put it closest to. The big thing on this is the abilities. The skill tree is insane. You have so many options. There's ways to make like a big power arc on your weapon. There's abilities that let you double, triple, quadruple dash. You can do big giant leaps, small teleports. There's ways to, cut through walls, send energy beams through, multiple enemies, kind of like a chain lightning style effect, big bolts. There's just all sorts of things. And this has a huge replay value, because if you want to try and get different endings with the different power styles, that's a complete option. Game is gorgeous. Controls are really tight. It is very difficult. All of these games I'm going to say, though, are hard. They're not... There are some scaling options, but these are definitely for a more seasoned gamer. This is not just a casual pick up and play. You're going to be tested, but they're worth it. And the puzzles are fun, and it doesn't feel cheap in this game. I give this one probably I would say an 8 out of 10. This is a fantastic game, and I think a lot of people, if you're a big fan of that style, definitely give Sundered a shot. The second game, I believe most of you have probably heard of this because it is regarded as almost a perfect game. And that is Hollow Knight. Hollow Knight, my sweet buggy baby boy. This is a banger of a game. Hollow Knight, the general story is you are this little bug dude who has to deal with much larger implications of your city is dying and you are the only savior of this dark underworld. The music is amazing. The visuals are fantastic. It kind of has a Tim Burton-y vibe. There are a couple of creatures that I would die for. Specifically the transportation. It's kind of like a big train bug, and it's cute as hell. I love the aesthetic of this, and it plays like this one is also, now I think about it, a little more in, all of these are actually more in the Castlevania vibe than actual Metroid. The last one I'm going to talk about is probably the most Metroid-esque, but this one has some of that vibe to it. It's mostly melee combat. You have a little needle that you use as a sword. The bosses in this are absolutely insane. There's one in particular that I'm thinking about where you have to fight three praying mantises, I believe they are, at the same time, and they all do different things. So you have to switch up your approach mid-fight constantly. This is also one of the games where the DLC all is completely worth it. Usually I'm against DLCs when they're meant to complete the game. This one is entirely enjoyable without it, but I do highly recommend picking up the carnival. That's the word I was looking for. The Twisted Carnival edition adds an excellent extra bit. Graphically, it's kind of like it very much is its own thing. It would look familiar to a lot of more modern side scrollers. I'm thinking it's got a bit of, it kind of looks like Hades, a little bit more toned down. The Cave is also a game that I would say this art style kind of falls into, but it's a lot darker. Like I said before, definitely giving you those Tim Burton Nightmare Before Christmas kind of vibes, but everybody's a bug. That being said, controls are, I think I said that being said way too many times this episode, so just ignore me. Furthermore, therefore, ergo, vis-a-vis, concordantly, this game is super tight. It's extremely well done, well put together. The musical score is very moody and fits the aesthetic very well. 10 out of 10, will play again. But I'm now going to switch over to my favorite of this recommendation list, and I hope you would enjoy it as much as I do. We're going to be talking about Blasphemous. Blasphemous is to Metroidvania's what Elder Scrolls is, or not Elder Scrolls, Elden Ring is to Souls-likes. This game is just dripping with aesthetic. It is hyper gothic horror, a lot of like traditional religious. This game is dripping with kind of almost like just traditional Roman Catholic iconography, big cathedrals, very dark gothic horror. It's got a sort of pixel art enhanced by voxel lighting. So it has the benefits of modern lighting techniques with that pixel art aesthetic. This game is gorgeous. The soundtrack is bonkers. It's so good, so over the top. Lots of like Gregorian chant, big like organ pieces. This feels like a religious experience. The way that the story is told to you is very grandiose and esoteric style language. A lot of cryptic meanings. It's all up to interpretation. You play as what is called the Penitent One. This character with a giant sword and a huge pointy hat that also is like a goblet that to contain all the blood of his fallen enemies that he uses to drench over his face, covered in thorns. It's a lot of like self-torture and redemption arcs. This might not be for everyone, but I love this kind of aesthetic. It's disturbing and beautiful at the same time. And the monsters and artwork is just amazing. They really knocked it out of the park with this one. Again, I say you're probably going to have to take it easy if, gore makes you squeamish, or you can't, if you don't like horror at all, this is definitely not going to be your style of game. But it is really worth your time if you can get through this. It also, all of the DLCs for this one are free, which is rare, and they do add some good variety. They extend the storyline, they explain some things a little better. This is also one of those you're probably going to have to play it 2 to 3 times if you want to get the true ending. And I won't spoil it, just give you kind of an idea. My first playthrough, there's the last hill climb that you have. You start to lose traction pretty early, and you realize I didn't finish this game. It's real good though. Once you know what you're doing, you can blow through it pretty quickly. Lots of good powers, lots of fun mechanics. There's a really good, it's key to the gameplay, is parrying, which I've always liked parry mechanics. It makes you feel like you're more active instead of just taking hits or having to dodge them. If you, get good at the mechanic of parrying, then makes you feel like a god. That is also not the only way to get through this, though. There is a dodge mechanic, or you can just, learn patterns and just not be in the area. But you'll have fun. And this is one of those games, too, where the smaller the boss is, you're in for a real big fight. Typically, the small beings are usually the ones that are going to kick your ass. Love this game. I can't wait for the sequel, which was just announced and is on the horizon. I really hope you guys get a chance to check these out. Next week we will be back. I believe B Ross is on the mend, and he's doing well. His voice was just not ready for recording today. Mine is on the fritz as well. We'll be back in full with the full crew and full episode. I am, though, going to, at this moment, spin that wheel of retro and get us our next topic in honor of B-Ross. I know he desperately wanted to do a Genesis game for the next episode, so we're going to pull from that wheel a Genesis game, and I will announce that. And the Wheel of Retro has spoken. This next week, B-Ross, this will be a surprise to you after you edit this, but we are playing for the Sega Genesis, Todd's Adventures in Slime World, 1990s. Looks like a side-scrolling platformer kind of shooter. It's got a weird dude in a space helmet that looks kind of like a nerdy Duke Nukem. This is going to be interesting. So tune in next time for Todd's Adventures in Slime World. This is Mr. Miller signing off for this special solo episode of Super Garbage Day. Cut to B.
Thank you for watching with
Mr. Miller.
I just want to say everybody, guys, bye.